Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, as usual, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And here, as always, with my beautiful co-host, Sherry Pang. Sherry, howdy.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Doing fan-diddly-tastic. How about yourself?
Really good. I'm just, I'm going crazy. Just so much is happening, but I'm welcoming the new year, and, I'm being present, but welcoming the new year, and there's a lot happening, and I don't know I should say this, but I'm Paranormal Horizons, but I have my new own radio show, so don't worry, you're not going to lose me, Jason. I'm just going to be branching out to my own radio show called Portals of Enlightenment. Oh, Portals to Enlightenment, excuse me. Portals to Enlightenment, your journey of body, mind, and spirit. So we're going to cover the big gamut of the body, mind, and spirit realm and just have a variety of different co-hosts and different guests. And I'm just going to be on for half an hour unless we have a really big guest or something. We might have to go an hour, but I'd like to keep it short so that people, when they're on their drive to work or whatever they want to download the podcast, if they're not going to be bored to death and be able to get a lot of bang for their buck in the half an hour that they're listening to me.
You know, before Paranormal Horizons, I don't know, was it 5 years ago? I think, we're at like episode 260, I think. But before Paranormal Horizons, I did about another 100 episodes on a different show. And that show was 2 hours. And you know what I learned? I learned 2 hours is just too long. It really is.
Yeah, and when we do a round table, I can do 2 hours myself. I don't care for it. But you have a lot of people. If you have a big, like I said, if you have a really big guest or you have a round table of different guests, 2 hours I can go. You can go pretty fast. But normally it's a long time, and I think a lot of times people don't have the time or they have the attention span to listen. And an hour is even stretching it, I think. Well, if I can speak for myself, half an hour, I can bear that, but not an hour. Yeah, it has to be, like I said, pretty good or has to, capture my interest. What about you, Jason? How about an hour?
That's why I like it in an hour. It goes by quickly, and we can really get through a ton of information talking to our guests about whatever the subject is. And I think an hour just works perfectly. 30 minutes, I think, for this show would be too short. 2 hours is too long.
But now I'm really comfortable. Yeah. Especially when you and I are co-hosting together, it's great. We can just talk and talk and talk. And just like last week, we had open lines and it was crazy. It just went by really fast. I wasn't even looking at the time.
Yeah, it goes fast. And there's always something to talk about in the paranormal. There's always stuff going on.
Yes. And I want to greet everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And I just thought, last minute, I thought, oh, yeah, it is Christmas. We should talk about Christmas things. And I would like to talk about, if there's anything about you, with you, is about Krampus. I just the guy's freaky. I don't know, do you know anything about Krampus? And some people, really are into him.
I think it's Krampus. And the extent of my knowledge on that is watching a couple movies that were based on Krampus, which is like this evil Santa Claus dude. But honestly, that's a subject I know nothing about. I've never researched it. And the extent of my knowledge is pretty much what I've seen on the big screen. Now, you've arranged to have a couple callers calling, right?
Well, I just want to tell anybody, if they want to call, We're open line, so be happy to call in. Our number is 1-215-383-3999, and it's 1-215-383-3999. So if you want to call and just, you know, join the chat or have any questions or anything, we'd be happy to have any callers to come call in except those robocalls. We don't want those those scammer or robocalls, right?
Do you know how, it amuses me. A lot of people get frustrated with crank calls, but I personally, I find it absolutely hilarious and amusing. But that's probably because I'm warped. I don't want to encourage that behavior, so please don't call. But if you do, I'm probably just going to laugh.
Oh, well, that's crazy. Yeah, you like to do that, huh?
Oh, man. We've had some times, and it's kind of easy to spot, you know, where suddenly there's, you know, within a matter of 30 seconds, 15 or more people will call in. And apparently there's these group of people that troll these blog sites, and they're like an organized group of people, and they go to these shows and they all call in to, like, you know, swarm crank the show. And it's been a long time since that happened. It's probably been a couple of years, but it's pretty funny.
That's funny. I and knowing you probably like to mess with them, don't you?
Yeah, I need to get better at that. See, the thing is sometimes if somebody calls in and they're telling you something that's absolutely ridiculous, you don't want to just laugh, because what if they're being serious? You know what I mean? And the paranormal as a subject as it is can get pretty strange.
I know, and then you really be on their bad side, right? No.
I mean, one guy called in one time. He was talking about his haunted refrigerator, and he was saying all these fantastical things about his haunted refrigerator. And I know it's a crank call, but I don't know, you know. So it's, you know, but at some point, it becomes so obvious that you just have to say something, like, you know, and this, it's too weird.
Wow.
You know?
Well, anyway, I just, you know, I had to say something about Krampus, because I've been seeing that a lot on Facebook, and it's like, wow, what is this? You know, who is he? And I'm finding out that he is he's a horned figure described as a half goat, half demon, who during the Christmas season punishes children who have misbehaved, in contrast with Saint Nicholas, who rewards the well-behaved with gifts. Interesting.
Well, that sounds like a great story you'd tell kids to keep them in line. Some horned anti-Santa is going to come and punish you if you don't behave. I do not believe in Krampus. That, to me,
Krampus,
is just
that's
a
what it is.
Fairy tale to keep kids in line.
Yeah, I don't care for Krampus either. I don't like the way he looks. It's too evil for me. But yeah, he's I don't know. I just it's crazy. But anyway, so how was your week, Jason? I know you had vacation, and you know, how was your week? Were you able to relax, and did you what did you do?
Pretty much not much. I watched a lot of movies. I did go to the coast. I have a newish camera and managed to take some pictures of the coast and went on a hike. And, oh, speaking of pictures, we did this hike through this forest. And remember, we had the guests talking about fairies and stuff like that, taking pictures. And I was kind of on a fairy capturing quest. But unfortunately, I'm sad to report I did not capture any anomalies in my camera.
Okay, and I can see your camera is very, very high resolution. You have a very nice camera, and you'd be surprised. Maybe one of these days you can.
You never know. Well, we do have a couple callers. I know you had arranged to have a couple people join our conversation, right?
Yes, if they want to call in, bring them on. We don't know who's going to be calling in, but just, bring them on. We're really open to anybody that wants to call in.
Yeah, so I'll bring both of them on right now.
Yay.
Hello, hello. Who's this? I got both of you on at the same time.
Hey, Sheriff. Michael, what's up?
Hey, Michael, how are you? Michael Smith. Yes.
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
We just did on air, so we're just talking about, I don't know if you caught that, but we just got done talking about Krampus, or Krampus, whatever the name
yeah.
is, so we were talking about him, and was just describing how he looks. Me, the creeps.
And who else yeah. Who else called in? We got one more.
I didn't know if I was coming through or not. It was a little, of course, my phone decided to switch up the second I start the actual call goes active. But hi, it's hi,
Sherry. Is there somebody on too?
Oh, one of the calls just dropped.
Yeah, that was Joe, I think. I think his call just dropped.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you? Down again.
Oh, maybe it was we're having all sorts of issues. It was Sherry that dropped.
Oh.
Oh, Lord.
I was like
technology.
I could hear, but I was thinking you guys couldn't hear me.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, we have such advanced technology, and apparently we can't keep straight signals straight. But anyways, thanks for both calling into the show. And, yeah, I guess this is kind of a Christmas special. We can talk about whatever. Now, do either of you have any knowledge or experience with what Cher was talking about with Krampus? Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I know what it is. Basically, the answer. Anti-Santa.
Yeah, that can't be.
It's like a negative entity or something like that. I don't have any.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay, good. I got cut off.
Well, maybe Krampus isn't happy and disconnected the call.
Is everybody on?
Anyway,
no.
Yeah, we're all
hey,
on.
Hi,
we're just
Joel.
Starting to talk about Krampus.
That was weird.
Yeah,
we just got cut off.
The Europeans are always big on the double-sided coin thing. They always like to have their opposites. So where you had, you know, St. Nicholas and the origin of Santa Claus came in, he had to have the opposite. It's the good evil thing, and like you were saying, you know, I think if you see some of the pictures of this thing, that would scare a lot of kids straight. You know, I would not want that thing showing up.
That's
I can't hear Joel. Is it me or is it just my computer? Or, I mean, my phone or what? I'm just like you're fading out in and out.
That could very well be me. We've got we're having snow. Our winter's here, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's strange. I can, like, you're way out in the tunnel.
Yeah, like it could be me. We've been having some rough weather here the past couple of days. And, of course, like I said before, this phone I have, this Samsung, is good for a lot of things, just not as a phone.
Wow.
Back.
Okay, so you guys were talking about Krampus and Krampus. I kind of call him
Krampus.
Krampus.
You're creating your own anti-Santa. Krampus and Krampus.
And that's
they're
why I'm getting cut off, right?
They're brothers, Krampus and Krampus.
No. They're twins. But anyway,
Melissa?
So we were talking about that. What were you saying, Joel, that you were talking about your children?
I was saying that image would definitely be something to scare children.
Oh, and yeah, definitely.
They do it even like in Europe, they still do the festival to him. He's still part of the holiday season there.
Huh. Wow, that's interesting. Oh, it could be kind of like a folklore, as I was thinking.
Well, that's actually, yeah, it goes back into the Middle Ages, into the folklore of Europe. A lot of the times when they came in, when Christianity came in, rather, they would take the deities and the things that were already there and believed, and they would make them into a monstrous version of them. And while I don't know the exact origin of this, that would lead me to think that this is probably along the lines of what it is. Something that was in Europe when Christianity started coming in strong, and they were like, oh, well, you know, we've got Santa Claus, and you've got that.
I'll have to Google a picture.
So Santa Claus, go ahead.
I've seen a couple movies. I believe the main one was titled Krampus. I don't know if you've all seen that one. I actually thought that movie was pretty good. And then I watched another one. It was a foreign film. I thought it was a great film. And yeah, that dude's scary. I mean, if they depicted him in that movie as, you know, what it would be like, you know, in the folklore or whatever, that's something you wouldn't want to mess with.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Hey guys, I want you to introduce yourselves and who you're with to our listeners. I'm getting tongue tied. To our listeners, and let's see what you guys been up to.
Well, Michael, do you want to start? I'm going to actually try to get a better connection. I keep breaking out here. And I'm going to try to call back.
Yeah, I can hear you. You are breaking up.
Yeah, I'm going to try to call back from something else and maybe get a better connection.
Okay.
So if Michael's still there, have him start, and I'll call back in just a second.
Okay.
I'm not as good with all remembering all the places that we're at as Joe is, but we've kind of got our own podcast network. We've only got several people that do podcasts. And actually, our podcast, Paranormal Night Stalker, just got on iHeartRadio just day before yesterday.
Yay,
congrats.
We finally
that's a big one.
I guess there's a cutoff or something. You have to have so many whatevers. And apparently we didn't qualify before, but I guess we do now because they sent us a thing and said that we were on iHeartRadio. So we're in a lot of different outlets. They can find us on Stitcher and Spreaker and Podcast Addict and iHeartRadio,
Spotify,
and
iTunes.
there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, there's a lot. You know, but it's working out pretty good. We're getting a lot of listens, and people seem to be enjoying the show, and they haven't laughed us off the air yet. So, I mean, you know, that's always a plus.
they haven't cut you off, right?
they haven't pulled a plug on us. So, you know, so that's always a good thing. But we seem to be doing pretty good with it. I was going to go back to Krampus for just a minute, if you didn't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Let me bring Joe back on. It looks like he called back on.
Yeah, let's see if this one works.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
According to what I've did some real quick research here, it's a half goat, half demon. And it's sort of the contrast to St. Nicholas. The origin seems to be pre-Christian. From the anthropological stuff that I'm reading here. Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, Slovenia. So he's really recognizing sort of a bunch of different places around the globe. Apparently it goes back sometime around the pre-Christian Alpine tradition, which is the European Alps, Germanic, Roman, Gallo-Roman, the Gauls, Slavic. Back in that period of time is when it kind of, I think, first started coming through from what the anthropology records look at. They have certain nights of the year that that he's sort of dealt with, like, depending on where you're at, December 5th, December 6th, like that, depending on which country you're in, they have a certain night, kind of like Halloween, sort of. You know, they have certain nights where in parts of Europe, December 5th is, I don't know if I'm going to murder this, I know I am because it's in German. It's Grumpeschnacht. Appears in the streets, sometimes accompanied by St. Nicholas, sometimes on his own. Let's see here.
I wonder if there's ever been any modern-day sightings of Krampus.
Not that I know of, but I can find him as an actual deity or like a demon. I think it's usually like a, you know, like a representation of it. Like, you know, in the, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. Maybe the horn god. You know, how they would have someone dressed with horns on a crown.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
That.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. Maybe something maybe like that, but I don't see anything here depicting an actual deity or reports of a deity. Now, there are some, there are many regional variations depending on where you're at around the world. I mean, there's a lot of them. Most of them, it talks about different costumes that are worn during the night. During the Krampus celebrations, they include Krampus, St. Nicholas, the Woodsman, which would be like maybe the Green Man, you know, in the pagan traditions of the Green Man, the Man of the Forest, angels, all women. It says here that normally the Krampus has the costume for the Krampus has a fursuit, horns, like I figured, a demon mask, and hooves. So it's kind of like an amalgamation, I think, of every stereotypical demon you could probably think of if you thought about one. You know, cloven hooves, horns, fur.
Yeah, they look creepy, don't they? I don't like them.
They're kind of the stereotypical movie kind of what you would think one would look like if you could see one, I guess. You know what I mean? As far as what I can see here. But that's kind of it in the origin. There's a lot of stuff, but that's kind of pretty much what it is. It's kind of like an anti-St. Nicholas, sort of. It's the two sides.
Wow.
You got the good and the bad, you know, like
good
and evil.
Yeah, exactly.
Or light and dark. You know, it's the duality. The yin and the yang, it's the duality, just like anything else.
Well,
yeah,
I prefer getting presents.
Go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead. I prefer getting presents.
There are people who worship
them.
I see that on Facebook. Oh, we're going to celebrate Krampus or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting. Okay.
All of our people on Facebook will absolutely celebrate anything. We are talking about the generation that eats Tide Pods.
We eat Tide Pods, for God's sake. We can't put too much trust in these people.
Why would anybody do that?
No, I can't imagine. When we were growing up, we never thought about doing some bizarre things. I mean, what is it? What's next?
You know, speaking of a new low.
What is the thing about the tampons, where you soak the tampons and you drink the juice or something?
I have no idea. I tell you, I saw one that would even make you go more, what are they thinking? I've seen the new one where a guy lit a firecracker held in his front teeth and then got surprised he blew his teeth out.
Oh, I seen that. That was epic. Yeah. Yeah, people, like, what is wrong with people?
Blew his teeth out?
Just, you know, I mean, it's a firecracker.
That is just, I don't understand. I don't know.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I have not.
That basically, in the beginning of the movie, it kind of shows the dumbing down of the human race to a point where it's everybody's ridiculously stupid, and I think that we're getting on that path. I mean, like eating Tide Pods, blowing your teeth up. I mean, I know a lot of people do these things to get views and probably a lot, you know, revenue on YouTube and stuff like that, make viral videos. But it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think people are getting dumber.
Well, oh, absolutely. I would have to agree with that.
I think the dumbest one I ever saw still was from last year. This guy filled a riding lawn. They were shooting, they had AR-15 rifles, and they were shooting at a riding lawnmower as a target. But they filled the lawnmower with some kind of an explosive powder. It was for targets. You hit the target blows up. It makes a big white, got some kind of an incendiary in it. They fill this thing up with like a whole lot of this powder, and they shot at it with a rifle. Well, now, when you shoot it in a metal object full of explosives, you make shrapnel. So it promptly blows this guy's leg off. He loses a leg. And he's laying there screaming. And I'm thinking, well, you dumb bastard. You know, you shot a rifle at a lawnmower full of lawnmower blades and engine parts and big pieces of flat metal and parts tires and bolts and all these things, and you shot at it and it was full of explosive stuff and you wonder why it blew up and you got hurt. I mean, you know, people like that shouldn't procreate. It's bad.
And
yeah,
that was the whole thing of Idiocracy was the stupid people outbred the smart people like 10-1, and and it just kept going down and down, and then we ended up with what the number one movie was, Butts, and hospitals are all called Thank God.
Yeah, it's such an underrated movie, but it's a great cult classic. Now, you brought up that explosive with the lawnmower. I know this isn't paranormal, but even these stories are interesting. This is a recent story, probably a week or two old. That explosive you're talking about is called Tannerite. Anybody can buy it. It's like a binary explosive. It's triggered by a high-velocity rifle round. And so this was a recent story. So I believe he was a Border Patrol agent, was making a video. He was outside. There's a lot of tall grass. And the point of the video is he was going to announce whether or not his newborn or fetus or whatever was boy or girl. So when he shot the Tannerite target, he had some blue powder and some pink powder. And so when he shot it, it would announce to the world whether it was a boy or a girl. So he does this. He's videotaping it. And somehow the grass caught on fire. Well, what ended up happening was a massive forest fire that caused millions and millions of dollars in damage. And he's got like a 30, something like, don't quote me, a $30 million bill to pay. And I don't know if they were going to do criminal charges, but people are like even if Tannerite in itself doesn't create flames, which I don't believe it does, something created the flame, and you would think about that. Why would you even do that in tall grass? That's just stupid.
You know,
well,
joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so much that the tannerite doesn't cause flame, but the fact that you shoot it with a projectile propelled by gunpowder. You know, it only takes one spark of a bullet hitting anything metallic to make a spark, and then you got a fire. And
I think a lot of people do that just so they can get noticed, you know, where they want to be so, you know, they want to get out there and do something different, and they're willing to go through all different lengths, even if it's compromising their own health and safety or others, they'll go through that.
Yeah, to me, though, I hate rank-ass stupidity, you know? I mean, like Joe and I have talked before, I'm not a genius, and we've all done stupid stuff. But I'm not gonna shoot a lawnmower full of an explosive compound with a bullet, and I'm not gonna fire a round at something in tall grass in the middle of a drought, and I'm not eat a Tide Pod, you know? what is happening here?
I know, it's crazy.
One of the girls ate a Tide Pod with a sophomore in college. They should take away her damn scholarship. Give me the damn thing. I'll be glad to go.
I wonder who the first person was that just got a box of Tide Pods and was like, you know what? I'm going to create a challenge and eat one of these Tide Pods and videotape it. And people are just sheep. It's unbelievable. People will do anything. You almost can't even make a video nowadays and post it because people will copy you. Almost every video should have a caption that says, you know, done by professionals. Don't try this at home. And even that doesn't work, but.
Oh, no. Because just, you know, everything is done by professionals. Some idiot somewhere tries to do something.
Really?
It always happens. And it just keeps getting worse. A lot of the times, I think you actually end up having like people who are just seeing how far they would go. That's what I can't help but to think somebody was sitting there and it's like, I wonder if I got on YouTube and said I ate one of these Tide Pods, if somebody else would actually do it. You know, it's like they're just wanting to see how far it'll go.
Well, you know, I mean, I can see a little kid grabbing a Tide Pod, especially the ones that got the multicolored swirls. Because remind me of, there's this one candy, I haven't thought of in a long time, but it's white. It's a Christmas candy. It's white and it's got yellow and green swirls in the middle of it.
I know what you're talking about. It's a hard candy.
Yeah, it's about the size of a Tide Pod. It looks kind of like a Tide Pod. I mean, I could see a little kid, baby, getting a hold of one and eating it. But a sophomore in college? I don't think so. I mean, what has to be broken in your brain to think, I think I'll eat bleach today?
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, I don't understand.
I guess it helps thin the herd, you know, like Darwin Award style. You know, you look back even 100 years, people being killed by their own inventions. There was that dude that he invented a parachute and he went up the Eiffel Tower and he assured people that he was going to throw a dummy off with this makeshift parachute first before he jumps. So instead of throwing the dummy off, he's got like a bed sheet and some rope. And then he jumps off without the dummy and promptly dies. You know, common sense, I guess not everybody has it.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can't call it common anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, my doctor told me one time, years and years ago, he said, well, with your ankle the way it is, you shouldn't bungee jump or jump out of airplanes. And something else, he said, well, I don't intend to jump out of a perfectly good airplane unless the damn thing's crashing. And if it is, I'll just take my chances because a broken ankle is not the least of my problems. You know, but to do some of the things these people do, just, I don't know. Like I told Joe before, I weep for humanity. I really do. I mean, I know that. Look at our podcast. We firmly admit on the Paranormal Mike Stalker podcast that some days, because of our sleep-deprived states, that we are two idiots for the podcast.
that we can't hold a coherent thought, and we firmly admit that. But we don't do it all the time, and we give them a warning up front, you know.
And you can twist this common sense thing into the world of the paranormal. I mean, I'm sure you guys have run into cases where somebody's saying their house is ragingly haunted and you go in and find some loose floorboards and stuff like that. I know I have, and I'm like, a lot of these cases and, you know, hauntings are just common sense. You got to think about it. Yeah, there's a branch outside that's tapping your window when the breeze is up, you know. It's not demons.
Yeah.
It's a branch.
Well, you know, actually, you're absolutely right. We have found that over and over again, you know. And the ones that always get me are the ones like, you know, I have a Facebook page. We have a group, and I currently, you know, I was one of the founders of it, and so we're active in it. And I get pictures and questions and stuff all the time. And I love the ones that will send me a picture of like, and now I don't want to get into the great orb debate, but 99.9% of all orb pictures you will see are dust. That's just the way it is. And they're like, as soon as you say, "I'm sorry, I've looked at that, I've enhanced it, this looks like dust to me." No, it's not. I've got the, and this has happened, and that's happened, and this is a picture of a spirit, and it's like, okay, just calm down. You know, it goes back to the old Bill Cosby joke. They don't want to hear what you actually think. They want to hear what they think, but in a different voice. And they get so like riled up if you just say, "I don't think there's anything here." I get them sometimes even from just Facebook in general. People will send and they'll have like, "Does this look like a face in this window?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is a face in the window. And I'm looking at your profile picture. It's you." You're reflecting. It's a reflective surface. No, it would. I will tell you this one, and this is actually the worst one I've ever gotten. Someone thought they argued camera angle with me. But somebody sent me a picture they had taken with someone standing behind them. And they were taking a selfie, and they thought they were at this right angle. And the first thing I look is, I say to the person, "Is it to this side?" And they're like, "No, the other." I was like, "Do you mean where the mirror is?" I'm like, "Yes, you see it too." And I'm like, "Yes, I see the person in the mirror, but it's your reflection. I can even see your phone in your hand." No, I'm in the wrong angle. If I would have had to have been at this angle, and the phone would have had to have been at this angle, and it would have had to, and I'm like, "I can see your phone," you know, and I enhanced and cropped the picture and circled the phone in the mirror, and they're still going, no, that's not it. That's not me. That's not me.
Well, that's like the person the other day that said they had to have two devices. One to measure EMF and one to measure milligauss.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that one.
That's the unit of a measure for EMF.
And
milligauss is that EMF.
And again, when this one actually, I will say this, this wasn't actually sent to me. This was in a group that I'm on, one of the, it's a paranormal group or ghost story group on Facebook. And someone actually said, "Why do you carry two EMF detectors?" We don't. Yeah, you do. It says the milligauss and an EMF detector. I'm like, "Yeah, well, milligauss and EMF are two separate things. They detect two different things." It's like I'm looking at this whole argument between these two people where they're saying, no, it's two different meters. Because, see, it even says on the meter.
Investigator, both you and Michael, for our listeners, what do you see? You say like 90% are false. So how can you tell if they look at orbs? How can you tell if they're real or not?
Any actual like I call them more of a light anomaly than an orb because they are giving off their own light.
Mm-hmm.
that's the main thing right there. If you have something like I was sent a picture years and years ago from a funeral, and it, honest to God, had a giant light orb right in the middle of it, and this thing blocked out two people's faces. It was that big.
Wow.
And this was, it looked as solid as a wall. I mean, you could not see anything of their face or anything behind them. You see something like that, there is no explanation for that. Not even like an insect or something that would reflect a flash of a light or something like that, or a lens flare. Lens flares will have several like smaller orbs and sometimes streaks with it. And of course it's coloring. A lot of the times you get people, oh, well, it's, I actually saw this on Facebook as well. It had a breakdown. If it's a green orb, it means it's a good spirit. If it's a white orb, it means it's an angelic spirit. If it's a black orb, it means it's like, well, no, because most of the time it means it's either moisture, dust, you know, all those different little micro particles that we can't see when you use a camera with a flash. They are very well lit up because they're still reflective. Even though we can't see them, they're still reflective when you put that much of a light spectrum onto them. Like I said,
wow.
This one, though, it blocked out. It was completely solid. It had no definable, like, shape inside of it. It was like somebody almost had cut a white circle out of the picture. Except
I know
it did
what you're talking about, because I've witnessed that in my house quite a few times. I've
you know, that
different colors. What, exactly what you're talking about, but they're different colors. I witnessed one that's like the reflective the reflective paint on the highway, that orange, like orange color. I've had two of them, two balls of light, solid, and they were just floating in the house, in my third level of my home. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I had to take a take because I'm I had to think, wow, am I thinking, you know, is this something I'm imagining or what? And I looked, it was moving. There are two of them. What, you know, they're like the size of a baseball. I mean, not a baseball, but I would say a bowling ball. One was smaller, but the biggest size was like the size of a bowling ball. And they were just moving. It was strange. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I seen one in the lady's house, and it was red. Absolutely.
Yeah, there are different. Yeah, but and that's really the biggest thing about, like, when you're looking at an orb picture, is if it's solid and giving off its own light rather than being transparent or translucent, and that would be more of a reflection. Because you got to remember, another thing people talk, well, if that's an awful big flake of dust. Well, you're not seeing the flake of dust. The flake of dust is microscopic, but what you're seeing is the light reflecting off of it. So as the light, it's kind of like when you throw a rock in a pond, you know, when the rock hits the water, you have the small spot where the rock went in and then it ripples out. Well, just because the ripples reach out 10, 15 feet, that doesn't mean the rock you threw in there was 15 feet wide. It could have been just a pebble, but until the energy is gone, dissipates, you're going to get ripples. And it's the same thing with that. You look at an orb, you might see something that looks like it's, you know, 12 inches wide. But the fact of it is, it's just the light reflection coming off of it. This is actually easy if you wanted to do it, if anyone, because 99% of the people in the world now have some form of a photo editor. You can do two things with orbs. One is put your picture into a negative. When you reverse it into negative, most of the time, the orbs will still be there, but you see that there's no solidness to them. Even more so, they will actually disappear altogether, like actually like completely go in the negative form on a picture. The other thing is just enhance, you know, and when I say enhance it, I don't mean like alter the color, I mean just blow it up, make it bigger, because the bigger the orb gets, the more details you see in it. The only problem with doing that is a lot of the time you will get pareidolia out of that. I don't know how many people that I've told, we make the picture bigger and see what it looks like then. I see a face in it now. There's like four faces, and I'm like, no, that's because you blew the picture up too big and now you made it a pixelated mess. So that can work against you as well. The best one I found is just make it into a negative. Also, back into the old cameras, The new cameras are a little bit advanced past it now, where you can actually get a, if you get a picture of a bug, where we used to just get bright blobs of light from bugs, you can actually you actually get like the shape of the shape of the bugs now. But back then, when the back when they were in the lower megapixels and all of that, or even when they were in actual analog photography, you could actually enhance the picture. And when you pulled the picture and you made it bigger, the shape of the bug would actually come out. And if you did it into the negative form, the bug being solid and being the most reflective spot on it would actually show up in the picture. So it was really easy to get through and debunk those.
Well, I mean, remember we had that picture of a rod that we caught.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
It was a rod, you said?
Yeah, we said a rod. One of the guys on one of the investigations took a video or a still. I think it was a video.
Yeah, it was actually from a video.
And it was a rod.
It was an orange-colored thing moving in a corkscrew pattern, and it's one of the rarest things I've ever seen.
That's crazy. Hey, Jason, you could be a paranormal investigator. You've seen some weird things yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I never was big on the orb thing. I always saw it as pretty much exclusively being dust. I did capture something in a basement that I couldn't explain. It was like half of a, I don't even know, it was almost, could be interpreted as like half of a full body apparition coming out of the floor and then passing in front of the camera. I never did find an explanation for it. I don't know. You know me. I'm always kind of skeptical. I'm always trying to disprove things. And most of the times I can. I've been in places where people said this happened and it took like 2 nanoseconds to identify a cause of it. But that being said, I mean, there's some weird stuff that goes on out there and we don't know everything. You know, we're constantly discovering new things about our existence and the planet. And so I'm sure there's some legit strangeness that goes on out there that we're not aware of or that we perceive in some cases.
I mean, I think I think the strangest thing I ever caught was at Adelaide, which is a castle that's down here in Myrtle Beach. It's at the state park. It was owned by Archer Huntington and his wife Anna. He was a sculptor, and it's notoriously known for being active. And it's open to the public, so we were down there one day. And broad daylight, and I've got a photo taken down a long corridor into a room, and it's the outline of a woman. It's just solid white, but it blocks out the back wall.
Huh.
The back wall is a fireplace, and you can't see the fireplace and the wall through this outline of this. It's head, shoulders, arms, legs. Flowing down. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying it's spirit. I don't know what it is. We couldn't debunk it, and we were going to recreate it. But it wasn't there when we took the photograph. I mean, there was nothing in the room. When we took the picture, there was nothing solid there. You know, we couldn't see anybody. There was nobody there. It was an empty room. But it showed up on the camera.
Hmm. There's a lot of weirdness that goes on. What kills me is you see these Facebook posts, and Joe, you mentioned it earlier, are faces in these orbs. I've seen people claim that, like, Benjamin Franklin is in this orb because you can see his face in this thing, and it just blows my mind, man. Or some of the things you see, like, famous.
Oh, they see Michael Jackson at somewhere, you know, or what's the other guy, the one the guy that's very popular that died, oh, gosh, he looks like a Fonzie. You know who I'm talking about? Elvis. Some people locate Elvis.
Yeah. Elvis and a piece of toast and everything else.
Yeah, so you see this.
I have to laugh. It's funny. Oh, my God.
Every time somebody famous dies.
You wonder if they're on drugs.
Yeah, you do have to wonder that. But every time somebody famous dies, like within a few hours, somebody is getting electronic voice phenomena of them communicating with the deceased famous person, and he's just like, what is going on?
I'll be the one to say it, and of course, I always have to put out the disclaimer when I go into something like this, because sometimes I always can go off the deep end a little bit, but, the opinion about to be expressed is of mine and mine alone. Do not hold this against Paranormal Horizons or anyone else, but the main one is Stephen Huff from Huff Paranormal, and that guy has made a career out of doing that. He has become such a punchline in the paranormal community that when a celebrity dies, they always ask, how long is it going to take for him to get the video out? And I remember when it was big when Paul Walker, he tragically died in that accident. And someone went, well, how long is it going to take Steve to get this video done? And someone posted, he's editing it as we speak. And I'm going to give a little bit of a shout out to a group from England. They're DNA Paranormal. They actually have a great YouTube video. And basically I'm sorry, their names are escaping me right now, but I believe her name is, I think it's Alexandra or Alexa, one or the two. I'm sorry. I know it starts with an A again, but I know it's DNA Paranormal. She debunked it and she did it perfectly and beautifully. She sat down with a spirit box. She started it up and said, we're going to try to contact Stan Lee. And she just let it go. And maybe within 10, 15 seconds, you hear Stan Lee. And that's when she let it keep going. And she stopped it after that. And she's like, now, do you want to know why you just heard his name? It has nothing at all to do with paranormal and everything to do with the fact that I'm recording this at the normal news breaks for radio stations, and he is a major celebrity that just passed away, and I guaranteed I could get his name today. And that's exactly what that guy does.
Oh my God.
And that makes sense. Yeah, it's perfect sense. Not one to judge, but I am always skeptical when I see those sort of claims.
That's something that so many people have to watch out with the spirit box. And I know I do a lot of work with the spirit box too. And we're actually, me and Michael are always constantly trying to think of a way of doing something like that, but taking the radios out of it. Because the simple fact of it is there are so many mistakes when a radio station is involved. I've harped on this before, because it's like a lot of people believe, for whatever reason, that first off, spirit boxes are detuned. It's like, no, they're not detuned. They are untunable. They will not stop on a station, but they still tune in the station. Another one that a lot of people believe is like a station that comes in, its main broadcasting frequency is 97.7. They believe that that's it. It won't be on 97, be on 97.6. It's only on 97.7. And there again, that's not right. You're going to hit more than one. So unless you put the sweep rate at such a high rate of speed that you can almost guarantee you won't be able to catch even a part word, then you're always going to have a chance of corrupting your own evidence. A great example of this is a guy I watched on YouTube, and I keep talking about his video because his reaction was incredible. It was hilarious because he was so shocked, but then at least he did man up and come in and do another video and say, hey, I realize now, listening back to that, I was wrong. But he's standing there and he's doing a spirit box session and he goes, is there anyone here that wants to speak to me? And almost as soon as the last word leaves his mouth, you hear a voice come through there and goes, hello. And he absolutely freaks out.
Oh,
he's just screaming. He's yelling. It wasn't until they started reading the comments that it was Adele saying hello.
Uh-oh.
It's her song, Hello. And everyone's like, that's not the other side Adele was talking about, this kind of stuff. And then when he sat down and he listened again, he's like, okay, yeah, you're right. That was Adele, It's like, but hey, I'm out on an investigation. It's the heat of the moment. And I get this clear, crystal clear hello when as soon as I ask that question, yeah, anyone else would have freaked out too. They would have been over the moon happy with it.
Well, you know,
go ahead, Michael.
I thought about this, and it just came to me. I have a weird thought process. And Joe can tell you that I'm not always normal, but you know, a lot of the spirit boxes, the XP7, and some other ones too, even though some of them are variable, a lot of them have 100 millisecond sweep speed. And I was just sitting there thinking about that.
Wow.
I'm thinking out loud. And Joel will tell you I do this all the time. I hate to ramble, but if I built a coil, you there?
Yeah,
we can still hear you.
If I built a coil, built a circuit, and ran current through a coil, would create an electromagnetic field. If I set a sweep speed for 100 milliseconds and didn't use a speaker, I'll have to go work on that. Because it would broadcast field, but it wouldn't broadcast sound.
That's interesting.
You follow where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Joe, you
so maybe it'd
me?
Be like,
yeah, man.
Would it be like a ghost, like to attract spirits, kind of thing?
Well, it would take because all the radio is magnetic field. Because when you put electricity through wire, you make a magnetic field. Same thing with a radio. It's magnetic. Anytime you put electricity through a wire, I don't care what kind of wire it is or what kind of power it is, you're going to create a field. And everything that's got a magnet in it, radio, anything, antenna, creating field. The difference is all these spirit boxes have a speaker. But if I just broadcast the magnetics without the sound, I'll have to work on that. There's part of that. I'm right at something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drift there, but I had an idea.
Have to let us know how it goes.
You have to understand something with me and Michael. We constantly walk the fine line between insanity and ingenious, and it's always a good question on which side of that line we're stumbling onto at the time.
Well, I've been told I was a free thinker. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'll try something to see if I can make it work. And then I'll try something else. Like I told the guys in the group at PNBC, there's no such thing as a bad theory. Not in this field, because we're doing the same old tired stuff we've been doing for the last 50 years. You know? So try something new. You ain't going to lose. You can't lose anything. I mean, you can't be ridiculed for trying something new. Because so far, none of the stuff that's been tried has proved much of anything. So try something new.
You could be on to the next big thing. Maybe you can open a portal to another dimension. You'll be experimenting and something crazy will happen.
You guys, because you're open for whatever happens and you're willing to try different things. And, you know, that makes it open for learning and growing and sharing with others. I think that's a really important thing, and I just really appreciate that.
I just need Nikola Tesla's brain in my head for about an hour, and I think I'd be all right. you know, but, yeah, I mean, I'm always thinking of something different. And Joey is too. We'll sit and brainstorm stuff for hours sometimes and run the figures and do the tests and, you know, it's just how we work. We've always done that.
So can you tell us really quickly, are you guys on any cases right now or anything pending? Or something that you want to share our, to our listeners?
Joe, go ahead if you want to tell them. We got...
Basically, right now, we actually have three potential cases where we have to talk to the people and set up investigations. Of course, we are continuing with the George Little House. I'm not exactly sure, which this is something actually I can tell you. I can't show you any of it yet because we haven't done the presentation to the actual George Little House people yet. But if you have seen, it's on the, I believe it's on the PNB site. Let me try to do this again. I'm sputtering words to see where they land here. But if you've been to the PNBC website, which is www.paranormalbc.com, I believe it's on there. I know it's on the actual PNBC Facebook page, which is at ParanormalBC. We got an incredible picture from the George Little House. It was actually Pete Wren that got it. He's the director of the Vancouver Paranormal Society. The Vancouver Paranormal Society is, I believe, the longest running paranormal society on North America, and it is a figure in like a dark mass sitting like on a bench, but it looks like it's wearing some kind of shawl or a native design wrap. Well, what he had finished going through some of the other evidence, and we actually have another picture that looks. Basically, the way the cameras were set up is this thing walked through a hallway and went to that spot and sat down. And we've got pictures of it the whole way. And he uses a special designed camera. It's a, I believe it uses a crystal lens. He would be able to tell you the specifications on it. I haven't used it enough to know them in detail, but I do know they are custom made and they were actually built by Barry Fitzgerald. From Ghost Hunters International, one of the guys that like pioneered the full spectrum camera. So these cameras were actually built by him. And like I said, it doesn't pick up orbs. It doesn't pick up dust, and certain light reflections don't work on it. These are like high grade, high tech stuff, and they were all set to be. They're set to motion sensors, and this thing triggered. And it's like I said, when we saw the picture, actually we had a live stream and a meeting Friday, and it's just incredible. I was absolutely floored. Yeah, I do have a copy of that photo, and I remember I told you I was going to send you a copy of the photo, and I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, I want to see that one. Oh, and before we get too far, tell them where can they find us? I never remember all the
Well, how much time do we have left? This one always takes a while. I'm amazed I can make it through the list without passing out. So if you want to hear the Paranormal Night Stalker, we're actually on – our main home is on Spreaker, which you can just go there and figure out. But we're also on Podcast Addict, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Podcast, now Spotify. We're now on iHeartRadio. We're available through Amazon Alexa, through the Spreaker app, and through a couple of other ones on that. And I guess as we also get to time, I believe Michael was saying we have actually started a network. It's going to be in full swing in January. Sherry here actually has her own podcast about a journey of mind, body, and spirit. It's called Portals to Enlightenment. And that is also available on all of those platforms. Actually go to her first episode is going to be this Saturday at 5:30, right?
No, January 5th. January 5th is the new moon, so we're going to start, not this Saturday, the following Saturday,
well,
right?
We had the one, one launched last night.
That's right. Oh, that's so right.
Can,
that's
you,
right. You're
that's,
right.
That's already available on Stitcher and all of that, so you can go give her a like and subscribe to her as well. I don't remember what day of the week it is.
I'm really so pleased to be part of it, and I want to publicly thank Joel and Michael. They're just fantastic guys, just really good friends. I just feel really comfortable being around them. I highly recommend not only their expertise in the paranormal, but Joel has had countless of hours of of bantering with me with names and my pictures and things like that. So I just want to publicly thank you and give a big shout-out. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time, for helping me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
So it's great. And if anybody can reach you if they, if you guys are up in Vancouver area, how can they reach you up there in case they have any kind of activity that they may need your help?
The easiest way that is either through, we do have an email available on the PNBC website, which is www.paranormalbc.com, or on the Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/paranormalbc. Or if you do a search, you can just search at paranormalbc. Now for the Night Stalker, and of course I answer all of them, so you're talking to me regardless of where you message it to. But you can actually go onto Twitter. We're on Twitter as well for the Night Stalker, and that's at Night Stalker Pod.
Wow, that's great.
Very cool.
Hey, Michael, since you're a researcher, and I'm just curious, if somebody had any questions, maybe not somebody like with Joel in his case, or whether, you know, whether to go and look and investigate, but if somebody had questions of researching a particular thing, can they reach you directly, Michael, or would they go through Joel?
Well, they can go through Joel also, but they can also get me at twistedresearcher@aol.com.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, we are out of time.
I'll be glad to answer whatever I can.
I know. You're really good at that. Very thorough.
Well, unfortunately, time flies, and we are out of time, but I want to thank you both for coming in and helping out with the discussion tonight. It's been enlightening. And thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well,
you're
thanks for having
us.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you, and happy, happy holidays. It's coming up. I can't believe it's only a couple of days, and it just feels like, oh, my gosh, I just want it to roll over.
All right, Sherry, what do we got going on next week? Oh.
Two things coming up with this paranormal team. So Joe wants to come on. We're going to have him on next Sunday. And, yeah, that's pretty much about it. So January 5th, folks, my show with Andrea Perrone is going to be on, and she'll be on at 5:30 on Saturday. So just go ahead and listen, like Joel was saying, on different podcasts, and you can listen to us. I think that will be an hour since she is co-hosting, and she has a lot to say. I think we're going to stretch it out to an hour for that on January 5th at 5:30.
Awesome. Well, unless you have anything else, we'll close it out. We hope everybody has a safe and fantastic holidays. And we will be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I want to thank all the listeners. And if you haven't given us a like on Facebook, that would be greatly appreciated. And with that, we'll see everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Take care. Peace.